In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Amen. May the Lord give you his peace. Today we celebrate the feast of the Virgin and Martyr, St. Agnes, a saint who's been very popular down through the ages. She's listed in the Roman canon of the Mass, and there are countless churches and even convents and shrines dedicated to her. She's symbolized by the lamb, in part because her name Agnes resembles the Latin word Agnus, which would mean lamb. Right, our Lord is the Agnus Dei, and here is this tender 13-year-old virgin who gave her life in imitation of the divine lamb, and whose life perfectly imitated that of the divine lamb, her spouse. The scene of this spectacle of her martyrdom was the Eternal City, Rome, but back before its conversion. It was in the beginning of the reign of the Emperor Diocletian, and St. Agnes was one of the many Christians who lived in Rome, but who were unknown at the time. They moved about amongst the pagans, but they lived their Christian lives all the same. St. Agnes was 13 years old, very young, and she was exceedingly beautiful, according to the accounts of her life and martyrdom. And this exceeding beauty was the thing that occasioned her martyrdom, because various noblemen were vying for her hand in marriage, and she refused every one of them, stating that she had consecrated her virginity to a heavenly spouse who could not be seen with mortal eyes. And one of the suitors, recognizing, of course, that this heavenly spouse was our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ, filled with contempt and spite, decided to denounce her to the Roman government as a Christian. And so she was arrested. She was put on trial. Since she was just a 13-year-old girl, at first they thought they could coax her by way of bribes. That didn't work, and so they tried threats of various kinds, and that didn't work either. She had this incredible courage and boldness far beyond her years. And then, of course, they tried various forms of torture. And finally, they sent her to a brothel, to a house of ill repute, in the hopes that there, at least, her virtue would be compromised. And what happened there at that diabolical place? There were various men that went there hoping to pluck the flower of her virginity and destroy it. And every one of them, except one, found that they couldn't even approach her. She was miraculously protected. And there was one fellow who dared to approach her, and he was immediately struck blind, a miraculous chastisement from God. Finally, the Roman governor ordered that she be executed, and her head was cut off with one stroke of a sword. And there's a beautiful statement from St. Ambrose of Milan, who's one of the saints of the early church who were very devoted to her. He said that St. Agnes went to the place of her execution more cheerfully than others go to their wedding. Very beautiful. She went to the place of her execution more cheerfully than others go to her wedding, right? And perhaps this is one of the reasons why she's inspired such devotion down through the centuries, right? She shows us that true Christian spirit of not just boldness and courage, but of joy, of cheerfulness in the face of the most horrible trials. It says in Scripture that the Lord loves a cheerful giver, right? And that not just in moments when it's easy for us to give, right? Often we're cheerful when we give things that don't cost us too much, because it makes us feel good, right? It may even boost our self-image, and we start thinking, oh, what a wonderful person I am. But when you're being threatened and insulted, and when you're under all manner of psychological stress and duress, it's much more difficult to be cheerful. That takes an incredible grace, and it's the grace that comes from the fire of charity. And it's a grace that comes in particular from purity of heart. In fact, among the saints of the early church, we find various ones who enjoy this double privilege of virginity and martyrdom, right? You think also of St. Cecilia and St. Philomena and St. Catherine of Alexandria, various others. They're known as virgin and martyr, right? And you know, and when you study their lives and their martyrdom, you find that very often there's a close connection between these two privileges, right? They're not just two different gems on opposite sides of their crown in heaven. They're two gems that match one another, that go perfectly together, because they express two parts of the same mystery. And it's the mystery of purity of heart and of love of God. These two things are inseparable from one another. In fact, if you can connect virginity and martyrdom, purity and love of God, you can also connect impurity and murder. In fact, that's one of the characteristics of the day and age in which we live. It's an impure day and age, and consequently, it's a murderous one. Right? Tomorrow, of course, is the anniversary of Roe versus Wade, that tragic court decision in which, you know, nine men decided that they had the right to claim when human life begins and when human life ends 38 years ago. And since that time, more than 52 million unborn children have been slaughtered senselessly in this country just through procured abortions, which is to say nothing of the countless others that have been killed through the pill and other forms of so-called contraception, which are in fact abortifacient. You know, and what's the cause of this horrendous waste of life, this terrible Holocaust, which surpasses in numbers even that of Adolf Hitler? It's impurity. Impurity leads to murder. Because with impurity, you begin by, you know, regarding another person, your accomplice in sin, as being not a subject to be respected, not, you know, a person made in God's image and likeness to be brought to heaven, but as an object for your pleasure. So it begins by dehumanizing, by objectifying a human being. And you know, in this day and age, when people pass from one relationship to another based upon whether they like it or not, whether it gives them pleasure and joy, you know, what do we find is that people tend to weigh the worth or the value of other human beings based upon whether they give pleasure or pain. You know, if you give me pleasure, you know, you're valuable to me. If you give me pain, I get you out of the way at all costs. And consequently, you have the whole history of the high divorce rates. Why? Because as soon as a couple realizes that the honeymoon's over, they don't want to see each other's face anymore, right? But then the more tragic fact is that, you know, the unborn child, right, who should be the fruit of their love, right, who should be their pride and joy, the gem in their crown, instead is regarded as an obstacle. An obstacle to their reckless pursuit of pleasure, because of course having a child involves responsibility. Having a child demands sacrifice. It doesn't always bring you pleasure. It can bring you tremendous pleasure, I'm sure, but it doesn't always bring you pleasure. It can also bring you at different moments pain. You know, you have to change a dirty diaper, or you know the kid's acting up, and that's a little cross to carry, right? It's a precious, beautiful little cross to carry, but you know, it brings both pleasure and pain. And in this day and age, people can't deal with pain. Pain is in their mind enemy number one. And so, what do? You get it out of the way. And so, you start by objectifying, dehumanizing, you know, the person with whom you sin, and then you wind up objectifying, dehumanizing the child who comes into this world, and then you push the child out of the way, right? And so, so we desperately need the witness of saints like Saint Agnes in this day and age, saints who teach us that there's far more to life than the pursuit of pleasure, who teach us that pain can sometimes be not an enemy but actually a friend to be embraced with joy, and indeed a friend to be embraced with more joy than we would have in going off to our wedding. And so let's ask St. Agnes to raise up a whole army of consecrated virgins and of other young people who preserve their virginity until marriage, and if necessary, to raise up an army of martyrs who are willing to witness to the dignity of human life and to the gospel of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ, even to the shedding of their blood. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Amen.